Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
Thank heavens Chris did not howl like a wolf. I used to do that very well in my 20s, and I'll practice and see.
I learned that from
listening to an old acquaintance of mine, John Zacherle. Remember John Zacherle, anyone? You don't remember John Zacherle?
Okay. Zacherle, sure, yeah. The radio Zacherle?
I knew him a little bit.
Yeah.
But he'd go on there, and he had this crazy song. I'll just recite the lyrics. A dinner was set for three at Dracula's house by the sea. The hors d'oeuvres were fine, but I choked on the wine when I learned that the main course was me. And he'd laugh. Like that.
Well, of course, there's Wolfman Jack. Let's not
exactly. That was on my mind, too. Yeah.
Wolfman Jack, I never heard of him. Who's Wolfman Jack?
Clap for the Wolfman.
Right, and his real name was Bob Smith. He came from Brooklyn, New York.
Bob Smith.
Right. Wolfman Jack.
Now, that's a transformation in itself.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Talk about shape-shifting.
And remember him from American Graffiti.
Sure.
Yeah.
George Lucas film where Harrison Ford was in there. And
oh, yeah.
Ron Howard before he became a director. Why are we talking about this? The Legends of Werewolves. Why, Linda Godfrey, are we so fascinated with men or women who turn into wolves or are reputed to?
Well, I think that idea that, you know, we look at the dog or the wolf, which they've always been our closest animal companions. I mean, when they go back to the earliest prehistoric man, they find evidence of, you know, domesticated dogs, which started out as wolves, as everybody knows. It's partly because we share this sort of bond with them, but I also think that we have a hard time, the more civilized we get, being able to figure out how we can still have our own wild urges and, you know, horrible violent desires that crop up in people now again. You think of Jeffrey Dahmer and Ed Gein and people like that. And it's much easier psychologically for us to displace that onto some kind of wild animal and say, well, this wasn't really me. It was this wild animal spirit that took over me, you know. And even if we're not claiming that we're doing that ourselves, it's very entertaining to think about it that way and think, well, what if every time I did something bad, you know, it wasn't really me doing it. It was because of the spirit of this wild animal.
Or as Jim Carrey said in the movie The Mask, it wasn't me, it was the one-armed man.
There you go. Yeah, we always like to blame someone else. The flip side is that ancient hunters from way back on have always coveted the hunting skills, you know, and I think that a lot of the desire to transform was to be able to take on those superb, intelligent, and crafty, and strong hunting skills that they saw exhibited in packs of wolves, you know, and I think that's part of those Atherton Canyon pictographs is they're trying to take on that prowess of the wolf, too. It's just multifaceted.
Of course, there is a mental illness where people believe they can turn into wolves. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a kind of psychosis known as lycanthropy, and some people who have it will deny that it's an illness, but it is recognized in psychiatric journals. And the thing is that researching it, what I've learned is that you can't really blame sightings of wolf creatures on this because the people may look in the mirror and see themselves transformed into a wolf, but anybody else who looks at them will just see maybe kind of a strangely behaving human, you know. And there was one case history that I cited of a woman who felt that she would just spontaneously begin transforming into a wolf and that she didn't have any control over it. And one time she was at Thanksgiving dinner and actually stripped down and began performing mating rituals. You know, that's just something you don't want to see your Aunt Hilda doing at a family gathering.
Boy,
you know,
she must have been the life of the party, huh?
Yeah. But to her, you know, she felt that she was could see fur on her arms. She'd look in the mirror and see a wolf face. But everybody else is just seeing naked Aunt Hilda. And that wasn't her name. I'm just making that up. But
There's going to be someone named Hilda out there who's going to say, what is this? I don't run around naked pretending I'm a werewolf.
No. I had Nat Hilda myself, so I guess that's where I'm getting the name. But I've read other incidents where people felt that they were transforming, and while they personally could see fur and that sort of thing, other people looking at them did not, you know, which tells you that it's something originating in your own head.
So in that case, it's always in your head. There's no evidence of a real transformation that could possibly take place.
Not from anything that I've read. People do seem to, who have that, have sometimes been able to contort their muscles of their hands, you know, so that they can appear more claw-like. But you don't see the nose growing. You don't see the fur sprouting on the face. You don't see anything like that, really, if you're just an observer.
Why the legend that if you're bitten by one of these creatures, it passes on the condition, the disease? Is that also the science fiction writer who created Wolfman?
Yeah, as far as I can tell. You know, I haven't found that in the ancient literature. In the ancient literature, it's more often received either as a gift from the devil or some sort of just transformational magic type of thing, and sometimes a curse. There's an old legend that St. Patrick in Ireland was mad at some of the Druids for making fun of his work when he was trying to convert everyone to Christianity, and so that he cursed an entire clan of Druids that had to then become werewolves every so often.
But you see here, for example, that in general, werewolves tend to be evil. I think True Blood might be an exception because there they could be just guard dogs, you know, who work at the behest of vampires. But in general, if you become a werewolf, you're out to eat someone or just kill them.
In the traditional mode, you know, that's the general idea. And you go back to things like the Beast of Javadon, which was something that just scavenged and terrified France, you know, and I don't have the exact dates right in front of me, so I won't make a guess, but it was centuries ago. And this thing actually, whatever it was, killed many people and farm animals, quite a few, and they never really, of course, were able to prove that it was a human becoming a wolf, but they did find an extremely, at least one, maybe two, extremely large wolf-like animals. One even looked like a hyena. There are so many theories about it. But that was much closer to the medieval idea of what a werewolf was. You know, it was a wolf-like creature that had some supernatural prowess, and that did indeed kill and eat people and farm animals.
Busy creature.
Very much so.
Neighbor.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't want to have been around there.
Well,
you know,
Chris
and there's
lives up in the country, a place where I would expect almost anything to be. I'm just a city boy, so I don't think that in Phoenix
they
or Mesa or
yes,
Tempe, Arizona, I'm going to see a werewolf. But up in
you might
wherever Chris lives down in the country there.
Yeah, but did you see that 15-foot rattlesnake they found in a culvert down there in Mesa?
But they do show up in
that,
cities.
Yes.
They do show up in cities, you know.
He had to remind me. You know, Chris had to remind me. He's always got that trickster element. You see.
You need a good trickster.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, you're right. They do. There have been reports of these things in towns, in cities. And I remember researching my chapter in my book of like you said, a scourge of reports of attacks of animals, even of people, and they tend to come in waves, and then they disappear, and nobody could figure out you know where it came from and where it went. But how about some more urban type accounts that you've encountered?
Well, you know, one that really shocked me, I just really couldn't believe it at first, was I got a report some years ago of three young women who had been at Brookfield Mall, which is just south of Milwaukee, and it's a really heavily industrialized, commercialized, I should say, is more like it, and a residential area, lots of you know, densely populated places. And they were getting on a clover leaf, just leaving the mall area, which is a huge mall, great big huge shopping center, and it's like, you know, 8-lane highways. They
this
get
is
on
like a big shopping mall in any large city. We
right,
have Linda
exactly.
Godfrey, who will complete the story as they exit the mall. What's going to happen? Jean and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, hey, neighbors, you've seen all those crazy, wacky products on TV. The perfect tortilla, easy covers, hot booties, furniture fix, petty spin, and more. Where do you find all that stuff? You go to asseenontv.com because this is the one-stop source for all of these TV goods advertised. Find all your favorites as seen on TV. Check them out asseenontv.com. And by the way, save 10%. Here's what you do. Use the code SEEN1, S-E-E-N number 1, SEEN1. Go to asseenontv.com to order. Save 10%. Purchase this summer's hottest As Seen on TV items. Save 10%. Or call 1-866-277-3366. 1-866-277-3366. The code SEEN1 to save 10%.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley-C. Why Alley-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley-C. For more information and to order Alley-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley-C today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're having a howling good time with Linda Godfrey, looking for the werewolves at a shopping mall in Wisconsin on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. Linda?
Well, yes, they were just making the loop to turn onto one of the interstates that you can get on there, and they saw what they thought was a dog crouching on the clover leaf. And this was December. It was a little snowy. They thought the poor thing might be cold. So they actually did what you're not supposed to do and pulled over on this cloverleaf loop and got out of the car and went to go see if they could coax it back into their car with them so they could rescue it. The thing stood up and faced them, and it was about 6 feet tall, looked like some kind of a wolf-dog hybrid, and started coming after them. So, of course, they made it back to their car as quickly as possible and zoomed off and didn't see what became of it. Well, I thought, that's kind of crazy. How could it possibly get through all that commercial area and that, those huge highways and things? But when I looked on the map, and this is something that I always do, and Google Earth makes it especially easy now. When I looked on the map, I realized that all it had to do was cross the cloverleaf, and it would be on the grounds of a very large golf course, which was, of course, shut down for the month of December, basically, and that if it crossed that golf course, it would come to another one, which then would lead to a river basin, and a little hop, skip, and jump, and presto, it was out of Milwaukee County.
Sounds kind of like a Wolfman corridor that it could use to get pretty much from the country into the city without being seen.
Corridor is a perfect word. It's one that I often use. I will find that no matter how ludicrous the area seems when something is reported, if I map it out, I can always find water nearby and some type of brush or cover, even if it's just an urban city park. Many of those parks have dense areas that no one ever enters, thickets, bushes, and things like that. So they seem to be extremely able to get around if they like to. And they have a real big advantage over Bigfoot. Bigfoot, if you see it sitting or walking or running or whatever, you're going to know it's Bigfoot. You know, generally Bigfoot is 8 or 9 feet tall and weighs 500-600 pounds and looks ape-like. This creature, from all witness reports, is able to walk either on its hind legs or all fours and goes back and forth quite easily. And I think that when it knows it's in an urban area, it will usually drop to all fours so that people will just say, oh, there's a really strange-looking, huge kind of dog hybrid. And I do get those reports from time to time. They'll usually notice something really unusual about it, either the way it acts or looks or something like that that distinguishes it from just your regular stray dog.
I think we go back, of course, to the origins we were talking about earlier, about werewolves tending to be seen in the so-called window areas. So are we seeing creatures that come from here, or are they coming from this other dimension or maybe another time that accidentally or deliberately come into our world to do whatever or just go to the deer store and buy some dinner?
Well, that would be the Native American belief. And honestly, although, you know, I keep an open mind because I can't prove that it's either one, either a spirit animal or a natural animal until I get one, which I somehow doubt is going to happen. But that really does conform best to the facts of most known sightings, you know. The reason, the idea that it doesn't want to actually kill any people, it just seems aggressive, that it's often seen busily collecting some kind of animal protein. And that's what my native sources have told me, that when they're here, they're fully corporeal, they're physical, they need to feed on something for energy, but when they want to, they go back through the portal or the door or the window or whatever you want to call it. For many Native Americans, that would involve freshwater springs, and that is often a component of a sighting's habitat. But I do have to add that the window areas really seems to apply only to the real hot spots, because there can be lone sightings just about anywhere. You know, they don't always conform to the hot spot areas. That being said, I did unearth a really interesting connection between southern Wisconsin hotspots and very ancient American, Native American formations called animal effigy mounds. And these are ancient mounds sculpted in the form of kind of abstract depictions of all different types of animals. And here's an astounding fact. Wisconsin, particularly southern Wisconsin, has something like 96% of all the world's known ancient effigy mounds. There are a few that overlap onto, you know, the neighboring states, and then you've got the serpent mound in Ohio. And
wow,
you know,
I
maybe,
didn't know that. That's yeah, an amazing fact.
It is. It is. And they were made by people who were here before any of the modern tribes, although some think that they were ancestors of the present-day Ho-Chunk tribe. And I have interviewed a Ho-Chunk elder, but I couldn't get that interview until I discovered this fact, which was that I was looking at a map of these effigy mound sightings that were grouped by predominating types of animals. And there was one called the water panther mound, or more accurate, the first settlers called it the lizard mound because it had a long tail. But the most accurate way to describe it would be as a water spirit mound. And what I learned is that they really don't want to talk about the water spirit mounds. There was a water spirit clan at one time that it doesn't really exist very much anymore. But I was shown a secret ancient insignia that I had to swear I wouldn't reproduce anywhere that showed the water spirit mound and what I can, or the water spirit creature, whatever it was. And it was bipedal and had two tall pointed ears.
Let me ask you, why can't you disclose it?
Because it's private tribal knowledge, and they don't want it to be let out. But what I guess I didn't make clear what my discovery was, which was that everywhere there was a concentration of these water spirit mounds, there was also a dogman sighting hotspot. And I had a map of my dogman sighting hotspots, and when I overlaid the two, it was astounding. They just matched up perfectly, far too great for coincidence. And the Ho-Chunk were very, very interested in that.
The precursor group of Indians, was that the Woodlands or the Woodland Indians or the Miami group that built the mounds?
They don't really know for sure. They refer to them as prehistoric and somewhere in that woodland time frame, but they don't really know who the exact people were. There's a big link to the Ho-Chunk in that the types of animals represented in these effigy mounds match up very closely to the Ho-Chunk totem animals. And the Ho-Chunk, you know, seem to have some knowledge. They're pretty close-mouthed about it all, but it was pretty astounding to see. They were pretty amazed to see how closely those matched up. And that's why they were willing to give me a little bit of inside information, but I had to promise not to reproduce the actual sign itself.
Game to you under deep cover. We're exploring real wolfmen, not the fake ones. I'm going to ask about the fake ones in a moment. I'm going to ask about some of the fake reports that maybe you've encountered. Don't forget, you can find us on Twitter at The Paracast. The Paracast on Twitter. Linda Godfrey joining Gene and Chris. You're in
The Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Are you storing food? Prepared families are storing food for months and years, but only have enough fuel stored for days or weeks. Stretch your fuel storage by harnessing the power of the sun with a sun oven. Food can be baked, boiled, or steamed at temperatures of 360 to 400 degrees with the power of the sun. You can use the sun for 50 to 80% of your cooking, allowing you to preserve your fuel storage for rainy days. Sun-baked foods stay moister and have less shrinkage and do not burn. Sun-baked roasts are tastier and more succulent, and sun-baked bread has unparalleled taste and texture. Water can be heated in a sun oven for purification or personal hygiene. For the past 26 years, sun ovens have been proudly made in the U.S. They're durable, have a long life, and come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. For a discount coupon, visit sunoven.com/radio. That's sunoven.com/radio.
Is this what your bedroom sounds like at night? What if you could stop the snoring instantly without nose strips, mouth guards, or a procedure? Now you can with Snorebreak. Snorebreak is a patented liner for your pillow that's guaranteed to reduce you or your partner's snoring from the very first night. The secret is the soothing oils infused into Snorebreak that improve breathing while you're asleep. It's the same technology used in hospitals to stop snoring, available for your home for the first time ever. Snorebreak is soft and virtually undetectable, and in the largest survey of its kind, Snorebreak reduced snoring for an amazing 74% of participants. For a limited time, you can try Snorebreak risk-free before it's in stores. Put an end to snoring. Get your risk-free trial of Snorebreak while supplies last. Just call 1-800-475-5481. That's 1-800-475-5481. Call 1-800-475-5481.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
One time. I can't do it anymore. We're having a howling great time here in the Paracast, making fools of ourselves. We have Linda Godfrey, and she's a good sport. Now, in the cases you've investigated, and this is what the skeptics will say, is it possible some were just made-up stories? Find a few of those?
There are. Every once in a while, you know, I'll get a report that just doesn't quite set right. You know, there are usually a few red flags. And remember, while I know one gets by me now and then, you know, I think I can weed out the majority, because I did work for the newspaper for 10 years, and that every week I would be interviewing somebody on something. Usually not on werewolves. I only wrote maybe 3 or 4 stories on that total within the 10 years that I worked at the newspaper. The rest of the time it was just, you know, regular people. And you get a good sense for when people are putting you on or trying to make something up. However, there are hoaxers out there, and I think it's crazy to deny that. It's possible that a very small percentage of people who report to me are giving me honest reports of seeing somebody, you know, in a fur suit that they maybe didn't have great viewing conditions and couldn't see too well. So that's possible, but there could not possibly be enough of them, of these hoaxed incidents, to account for all the reports I've gotten. You might have heard that, I think it was maybe 2 months ago, a man in Montana was out trying to spoof a Bigfoot sighting, and he had a fursuit and was running out in front of cars, and of course was, I think, hit by 2 different cars and totally killed, which I've been warning people about for years.
Yeah, that definitely is a Darwin Award nominee, yeah, right there.
Exactly, exactly. You know, and if you're caught at that, I mean, I think a case could be made for committing public fraud, but it's definitely endangering the public safety because, you know, even if you weren't hurt or killed, somebody could go off the road looking at you and then you'd be responsible, you know, for whatever happened in that crash. But I've also written about other just real full-on hoaxes, such as the so-called Gable film from Michigan. Have you guys heard of that one?
Well, it kind of rings a bell, but why don't you refresh our memory?
Well, this all started some years ago with the collaboration of an amateur filmmaker who just for fun made kind of a spoofy film that was supposed to depict an attack by the Michigan Dog Man. And he happened to be a 70s buff and had 70s vehicles and sheriff uniforms and film and a camera and that sort of thing. So he was trying to give it the look of something that happened back in the 70s. And it actually was him wearing a ghillie suit. But the footage was so grainy and blurred that, A, you couldn't see what it was. And my comment back at the time, which was about 2007, was that the thing never stood up, so how would you know it was a dog man? Maybe it was a bear, maybe it was anything. Well, the film was being touted by a Traverse City disc jockey named Steve Cook, who happened to be the person who wrote the legend, which told all about the Michigan dog man that he originally intended to be an April Fool's joke, but which, when he played it on air back in 1987, people started calling in and saying, hey, that's no April Fool's joke. I saw that, or my grandfather saw it, or, you know, we've got the Manistee Forest is full of them. And he discovered that, you know, he had an actual phenomenon, but it just somehow never took hold nationally or became known. So they actually put out a second film, and then things sort of started to unravel, and both of them confessed on national TV on the final season four finale of the History Channel's Monster Quest show.
The law of unintended consequences.
Now, exactly.
When you see these werewolves or whatever they are they ever accompanied by other creatures, or is it just them by themselves or with their prey?
I've never heard of them appearing in concert with other creatures, although they're often seen in the same areas as Bigfoot, but not together that I know of. But they do appear in multiples, which to me implies that there could be a breeding population, because you would certainly need multiples for that. And I've had people report 2, 3, 4, and even 5, which is one of the scariest stories that I've ever heard. Would you like to hear that story?
So it's in coming in packs.
Right, right, exactly.
Wow.
And the one where 5 was seen, they weren't just showing up all of a sudden as 5 of them. There was a middle-aged professional couple in Maine, Palmyra, Maine, who were sitting on their front porch one night drinking coffee. They had a spotlight with them, but the yard was dark. They had a pond where deer would sometimes show up, and then they'd shine the spotlight and look at the deer, you know, which is their nighttime ritual. Well, they got this uneasy feeling while they're sitting there in the dark, and they shined their spotlight on the yard, and there were 5 7-foot-tall wolf-like creatures walking upright, slightly hunched over, as they often describe, but basically walking on their hind legs, 20 feet away from them, creeping up, flanking them. There were 3 on one side, 2 on the other side. So they were employing a strategic hunting ability in that case. And 20 feet away is pretty darn close.
They didn't get much sleep that night.
They got no sleep that night. They backed into the house, and I've had extensive interviews with this couple, and they both produced sketches for me, some of which are shown in the Real Wolfman book. You know, and they're just two of the most credible, normal, regular people you'd ever want to talk to and meet. But they backed into the house, called 911. 911 told them to call the game warden. The game warden said, well, just stay in your house and lock the door. And they didn't even have any guns with them, because the wife made her husband keep the guns locked in the garage, and they couldn't get to the garage. So they're in this house.
And the game warden doesn't sound very sympathetic.
No, not at all.
Not at all, sure.
Never came out, never did anything. You know, just kind of like, let me go back to sleep, basically. So they went upstairs in the house to where their daughter was sleeping, just to check on her. And they shined the spotlight out the window down on the yard, and 5 pairs of yellow eyes glowed back at them. So evidently they either followed lights flipping on as the couple went through the house, or they just somehow knew where to go to watch for them. And the creatures stayed out there all night long and then just sort of slunk away sometime toward dawn. They didn't really see them leave, but by the time the sun came up, then they were gone. But they stayed all night long. They left footprints. They took pictures of the footprints, which didn't turn out, which I can vouch for this very often happens for some reason. I don't know why. Either that or your battery goes dead in your camera. But they moved not too long after that because they were just too under.
I'm surprised.
Right.
I could just see the real estate posting.
Exactly.
Quiet, secluded house with Wolfman neighbors.
Occasionally, yeah, you've got to check out those neighbors. In fact, you know, we have neighbors at this new place we're living at, and they have dogs, and the dogs, of course, decide to bark at night when we're trying to sleep. We'll have to talk to the neighbors. They seem like decent people, so I suppose they will make sure that there's no problem. Of course, I wonder here now whether we'll go to the neighbor's door. There'll be nobody there, but we'll see these canine creatures in back, and that's our neighbors.
You never know.
I realize that, yes. Who knows? What evil lurks in the hearts of werewolves?
Or wolfmen.
Right?
Dogmen.
Why can't we call them wolf women? Let's be politically correct.
Well,
or
you
wolf
know...
persons. Okay, wolf persons.
Wolf persons. Persons of wolfish descent. I'm not sure. There's any number of terms, and this is something I wrestle with all the time. You know, publishers like the term werewolf because it's much sexier than unknown upright canine, which I think is probably the truest description of them.
So, but, yeah, real upright canines. That's going to be a sexy title for a book. It's
exactly.
Got to be werewolves, of course, because, you know, werewolves are so entrenched in our popular culture.
Plus, it does give you a pretty good mental image of this upright wolf-like thing, you know, which is generally how people describe them. It's just that they don't have any human parts, and they won't shrink back into Lon Chaney.
Well, I hope not, that he's in dead for many years. We have Linda Godfrey joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Yes, we're howling away here, baying at the moon, as they say, with Linda Godfrey, looking at werewolves, and we call them werewolves because the title is sexy, and that's it. Not even dogmen, you know? It's got to be a werewolf.
Well, I've been called an animal once or twice, but never a wolfman.
You do find that there are different names in different parts of the country. For instance, in Michigan, it is the Michigan Dogman. I have one book by that title. And in other places down around French-speaking portions of Louisiana, Cajun areas, it's the Lugaroo or the Rougarou. You'll find different terms in different areas where people have no idea that anybody else has this creature in their place, and to them it's just always known by their local name. So different names, but it seems to be the same creature everywhere. And it's coast to coast, California to New York.
How about other like in South America and in Asia? Do we have contemporary reports? I know historically there have been traditions worldwide of these types of phenomenal, you know, hybrid creatures. But how about contemporary accounts coming from other parts of the world?
Yeah, there are a couple of guys who do a really good job keeping track of South American, Central American tales of this creature, and I've recounted a few of them in some of my books. The word down there is usually lobizon, so it's, again, a different name, but it reacts in very similar and appears in very similar ways to this creature. One common feature, I know there's one of my favorite tales, is that one of these creatures showed up at a family birthday party, and I'm thinking Argentina, but I won't swear to it without looking it up. But this family was celebrating a party, and they looked out, and somebody, I think one of the young boys, saw this creature and ran out, and it started attacking the boy. And so the whole family ran out and started beating on it with spades and hoes and baseball bats and whatever else they could find until they subdued it and left it this kind of crumpled mess on the ground. And then they went back in to decide what to do. When they looked out the window, it had picked itself up and run away again.
Tough beast, tough beast. Reminds me of this character in the TV show Alphas about mutants, where the guy drinks any calcium source like milk, and he's able to kind of reconstitute himself.
Right. Or I always joke, it's like the dog they call Timex in The Fly, because he took a licking and kept on ticking. I remember that.
Do we still use that phrase? That goes back a few years.
It goes back way far, but, you know, it's that really great version of The Fly, which I think was a pretty good monster movie. But
I like the original Fly. I think David Hedison was the Fly. And was Vincent Price in that movie? I don't know. The David Cronenberg version I didn't dig. It was just too...
You didn't like Jeff Goldblum as the Fly?
Brindle.
Jeff Goldblum, no. I liked him in
Brindle Fly.
I liked him as a crazy detective on Law & Order Criminal Intent. I liked him in a number of movies, but not as a fly.
Oh, I thought it was great. And he's in the bathroom saving his body parts in the medicine cabinet. That was kind of a weird scene.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. No, I love that movie. I'm a fan. But the corollary is, you know, I've had other people who happen to have a firearm handy and try to shoot it, and it just backs away into the woods, doesn't appear to bleed, even though they're emptying clips of automatic ammo into it and are sure they're hitting it. They don't seem to hit it. So sometimes, you know, the creature isn't doing anything overtly supernatural, but when you read all the circumstances, you come away with the feeling that there's something just not quite right. Another thing is that people feel it has this uncanny sentience about it, that it's very aware of them, that it's smarter than a normal wild animal or a normal wild wolf would be, and that it's got this attitude like, you can't get me, I'm over here, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, you know, snarling, just very, very aggressive and commanding in a way. And some people even feel that it's sending them sort of a, whether it's body language or mental, they're not sure, it's not like a thought bubble in King's English, but they'll feel that it's sending some sort of message that they understand, like, if you tell anybody you saw me, I'll get you, or that it's angry that the people saw it. These are things that you just don't really think about, say if you run into a bear or a wild you know, mountain lion or something like that. It's a very different reaction, and that spooks people out just as much or more than seeing it walking around on its hind legs.
Isn't our general perception of wolves in such that we believe them to be extremely intelligent creatures anyway?
Well, they are. You know, I cite some actual hunting strategies of wolves that have been observed and studied, and the more people study them, the more they realize how social they are and interactive and what different personalities they have. And they do teach their young behaviors that are helpful to their survival. So they are very, very intelligent animals as it is. But
now, wolves supposedly mate for life, right?
I guess so. I think that's true, you know, as long as one isn't injured or killed or something.
Of course, wolves don't have a judge or a lawyer who can get them a quickie divorce.
Not one, one would think so.
There's no wolf in prenups.
Not that anyone knows of, no.
How about that? You mentioned firearms and these creatures at times appearing to be oblivious of being shot. That
right.
opening scene in Hunt for the Skinwalker has an unusually large, you know, 4 to 5 foot tall
right.
wolf that was shot at point blank range, and it didn't seem to have any effect on it. And it wasn't until the last time I think he shot it with a 30-06, he actually knocked a hunk of meat or fur or something off it, and then it finally loped away.
Right.
But that's an interesting. I think that's an interesting little sidebar, that these animals don't appear to be affected by by bullets. Perhaps I think somebody makes a bullet, right, that's silver tipped. maybe they need to get the
they just don't have the right bullet.
Or maybe depleted uranium. We
there
do tip our munitions on overseas with depleted uranium. Maybe that would have an impact.
I'll tell you what, let's just get some phasers, okay?
Right.
We'll stun the werewolf with phaser set on stun, or we'll vaporize it. That's it. That's the only way with werewolves.
Or lightsabers. That would be fun.
Oh, lightsabers, yes. Forget it. I don't know where we're getting into this. Using lightsabers to slay werewolves for fun and profit. Or we can make it part of the dummy series, you know, slaying werewolves for dummies.
That's not a bad idea. I'd write that book.
Why don't you propose it to the company that puts out the dummy series? They have a flying saucers for dummies, by the way, I think.
Yeah, it's probably already been written. I think every possible dummies topic has been written. I'm just astounded at the ones that I see.
I should call my friend Bob Levitis, who writes a lot of the dummies books, but technology, of course, you know, like Mac OS for dummies.
Well, how about writing dummy books for dummies?
That's okay. Probably there, too.
There was used to be a competing series called The Complete Idiot's Guide. Oh, real trivia here. We were talking about the movie The Fly. And the original version featured David Hedison, who later went to The Young and Restless, The Fly. He was also playing Felix Leiter, the CIA agent, in some James Bond films.
Mm-hmm. He was in Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, too. That was one of my favorite shows as a little kid.
And the guy is still here. He's still alive. I think retired for a number of years, but he's still alive.
Maybe he's a werewolf.
Dorian
Gray. Now, see, I shouldn't say, I'm joking, I shouldn't say things like that because I'll get emails saying, well, you said so-and-so was really a werewolf, so you must really believe in them. And I don't. I do not believe human beings turn corpuscle for corpuscle, nostril for nostril, you know, joint for joint into werewolves, into wolves. I really don't believe that happens, just for the record to be clear. I believe
okay.
in...
I tell you what, proof that David Hedison is a werewolf. You ready for this?
I
he
am.
He has been married to the same woman since 1968.
Well, that's pretty good.
He made it for life. The guy really did.
Some people do.
Yeah.
Some people do. I've been married to my husband for a very long time.
We'll get a tweet from David Hedison. He's still listening.
That would be great.
Yeah. Tell us all about The Fly.
That would be wonderful.
Or he'll be a fly on the wall, depending on your point of view.
Help me. Please help me.
I think, Chris, we have to agree with what a lot of our listeners say. A lot of our listeners say about Chris that he definitely needs help. And we're going to try to help.
Linda, what did you think of the recent Wolfman movie with probably the only actor out there that probably really didn't require very much makeup? He looks kind of like a Wolfman to begin with, Benicio del Toro.
Benicio del Toro. It was fine, you know.
It sure didn't do well at the box office.
No,
so.
Anthony Hopkins Bristol played his dad.
That.
And there was a twist at the end, and I'll tell you what the twist is in a moment. We have Linda Godfrey. The subject is werewolves with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.